Building recovery. Stage 3. Ground floor. Session 1. Where are my challenges? Where are my challenges? Now, this might seem a strange question for someone who's trying to avoid them. And this is one of the reasons why it's so important as we move from, we've done all the planning, we've built the foundation, nothing anyone can say or do will have us using or acting out again. We are now building the floor of normality. This is the ground floor. If I was to rename these two floors, the ground floor and the first floor, I would rename them survival and flourishing. This floor is all about survival by being engaged in normality. And the next floor is all about flourishing by being engaged in imagination and dreams and visions. So we need to think about challenges. Again, when we were in our addicted self, we were spending all our time avoiding challenges. In fact, we do this to such a degree that we actually develop quite a deep-seated belief that we're not supposed to face or be engaged in any sort of difficulty or discomfort. Effectively, if we've been taking drugs, that's what drugs are about, isn't it? Making us feel good without earning it. We basically don't want the idea of discomfort. Even as an adult, we can develop this belief to such an extent that we feel we can't actually look at certain problems. But this is growth now. We've done the preparation, we've done the foundation, we're now looking at normality. And if we're going to build a good ground floor, which means we're going to do things like volunteering or looking for work, we're going to try and maintain relationships with work colleagues that don't deteriorate. Even though they're not our best friends, we don't necessarily like them, but we've got to work with them. We're talking about re-engaging with our family. We're talking about rebuilding relationships maybe with our partner. We're talking about becoming more responsible, paying what we say we'll pay, being where we say we'll be, doing what we say we'll do. These are the ideas of the ground floor. And because we spent our lives avoiding problems, we need to now address this question because we only ask the critical questions. Here is the question, where are my challenges? Now, I want to persuade you. I want to give you two good reasons why we need to think about our challenges when we're building this ground floor. First reason is that difficulties are our best teacher. Difficulties are our best teacher. So I want to encourage you to look at the blogs and podcasts I've done around this. We need to understand that it's only when we take these small risks and start to move into a difficult area that we start to really learn and really grow and change. If we continue to live in an ultra safe way where we don't take these risks and we don't go out there and try and do something, what will happen is two things. Firstly, our universe will shrink. Our whole world will shrink. Some people's world gets to the point of being basically room-sized because of the nature of the safety that they've been in. Secondly, we will not grow. There's no growth in going too slow or being too safe. Yes, we need to do it for a period, but that period is now over when we can say that we've built our foundation and nothing anyone can say or do can have us using or acting out again. Second reason, we need to prepare against challenges. We need to prepare against them. Why? Well, because if you go out there and you try and get a job, if you go out there and try and rebuild relationships with your family and so on, believe me, the challenges are coming. Doesn't matter if you try and avoid them or pretend they're not there, they are on their way. So it's much better to be prepared than it is to be unprepared. You've got much better chance of dealing with the difficulty in a healthy way if you've prepared for it, planned for it, and know where it is and know where it's coming from. So hopefully I've persuaded you now that if you're at that stage, and again, always want to mention this, if you're not at that stage, please don't attempt it. Look at the planning stage, look at the foundation stage before you try any of this, if possible. But having persuaded you, having inspired you, I want to now give you two of the biggest challenges that you will face. Of course, everyone's unique and everyone listening to this will have a different set of challenges. So I can't go into too much detail, but my experience teaches me, with the hundreds of people that I've spoken to, the number one challenge is relationships. The number one challenge you face in building a normal ground floor is relationships. Why can I say this so confidently? Well, it's for a very good reason. Addiction is all about being disconnected with the living world. Let me just say that again. Addiction is all about being disconnected with the living world. Effectively, we have been tempted into an inert or dead world. Now, this is such an important idea. I really want you to get hold of this. I've done lots more material on it. We're discovering this as we think more about addiction. The leading and key research is all showing this. Basically, anything that we get addicted to is dead. Think about, you know, a drug, alcohol, gambling, work. You know, all of these addictions are all with relationships with dead or inert things. And so really our recovery is all about becoming re-engaged with the living world to bond eventually, ultimately, but to be engaged with living relationships is the way forwards. And so it becomes the biggest challenge because we are used to having a relationship literally being bonded with something dead. So relationships are the number one challenge. What is the second challenge? Well, I have found that aside from relationships, the biggest challenge people face in recovery is identity. Identity is the second biggest challenge. Why do I say that? Well, there's two reasons. Number one, we have to let the old identity go. So the new identity becomes a big issue. Why do we let it go? Well, essentially, when we recover, when we stop using or acting out, the old self, in a metaphorical sense, has died. They are no more. If you don't behave like that, if you don't have the same values, beliefs, if you don't engage with people like that, if you don't do the same things, you're effectively a new person. Whether you think of this spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, career-wise, whatever it is, you are a new person. So we're letting the old self go. And why is that hard? Well, because you will be going through a grieving process, just like any other loss in your life. You've lost your old identity and you will grieve for that. Now, again, I do a whole set of podcasts and information on that because a lot of the time I find people don't realize this. But what we know is that any loss really triggers a grieving process. So identity is a huge challenge because we have to let the old ID, the old identity go. Second reason why it's a big challenge, on the second only to relationships, is because of something called narcissism. Now, we don't have to become an expert on narcissism. It's a psychiatric condition, psychiatric term, and it essentially goes hand in hand with the addictive personality. I myself am no real expert on narcissism, but I understand the way that it relates to identity and addiction. Basically, the narcissistic process builds identity through the reflections of others. That's so important to understand and might help you, once you get that, might help you really consider and remember and realize why you were caught up in certain relationships. It's because you only knew yourself through what they were saying about you. So the real challenge of identity, and it is a huge one, is in my new recovered self, my identity is going to be constructed from my internal moral beliefs. I'm going to have beliefs and values that are dear to me and that I believe in, and that is going to construct who I believe myself to be, not what other people say. Now, again, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we don't take into account what people say. Of course we should. I never want to get to that place where I'm not listening. But it does not form me in the unhealthy way that it used to. In my addicted self, my identity was formed purely from the reflected values of others. You can see then where all kinds of massive words start to come into our imagination. Words like manipulation, blackmail, control, appearances. All of these words are huge in the narcissistic process. And we need to construct our identity in our recovered self through our own internal moral beliefs and values. So let's have a quick review on what we've done. I realize that I'm throwing a load of ideas at you here. And so I urge you to listen to this several times or listen to certain sections of it. Pick up what you need to, make some notes and really do think about it. So let's have a quick review. We're now on the ground floor. We're building a normal life based on the fact that we've done our planning and we've got our solid foundation. The first question we need to ask is, where are my challenges going to come from? We spend our lives in our addicted selves avoiding problems. So there are two reasons why we need to look at challenges now and we need to be recruited or inspired into it. Number one is that difficulties are our best teacher. Number two is that we need to prepare against challenges because they're on the way and we're much better off being prepared. I gave you as the two biggest challenges that you are likely to face, relationships and identity. I said relationships are mainly the biggest challenge because in our addicted self, we were really engaged with a dead world and we had withdrawn from the living world completely. Challenge number two is identity. And I said that this was true and a big challenge because of two reasons. Number one, we have to let the old identity go because they're essentially dead. They've gone. They're not coming back. And two, because the narcissistic process means that we only know how to construct our identity through the reflected values of others. Now, this is a deep thing, and I'm not asking you to go deep into it. I'm simply asking you to reflect upon the idea that your new identity is going to be constructed from internal moral values. You are going to build yourself. The Chinese have an old saying about this, which I love. It says, become who you wish to appear. Become who you wish to appear. And that is how we're going to build our identity. We're going to think about your values and how you want to come across to people and then genuinely, authentically become that person. So I hope you got a lot from that and I will see you on session two. Bye for now.